Greetings again, and the Lord bless you. We do welcome you to Meditation Moments and trust that it'll be a blessing to your heart. You know, I did enjoy so much this number. Two verses, they're so precious, I want to read them. They go like this. It's by H. Ackley. When God is near, with light my path is glowing. The cup of life with gladness overflows. And in the garden of my heart is growing the flower of love, more fragrant than the sweetest rose. When God is near, so near I hear him speak to me. My every need his boundless grace supplies. When God is near, my heart is filled with ecstasy, and all the world's a paradise when God is near. When God is near, the heavy load is lifted, and every duty charms me with delight. The clouds of sorrow by his love are rifted, and songs of joy my soul keeps singing in the night. When God is near, so near I hear him speak to me, my every need his boundless grace supplies. When God is near, my heart is filled with ecstasy, and all the world's a paradise when God is near. And oh, how true that is. When you feel him near you and that you're having sweet fellowship with him, and his promises are being realized in your life, and you're conscious of his loving you, and you just feel that love surrounding you. It is a paradise, isn't it? It is an ecstasy. There's nothing like it in all the world. And we're turning to God's Word in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse. And beginning with the 9th verse, we read that, and Paul is speaking. He said, "The Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now these two sentences, "my strength is made perfect in weakness." God is saying this. The Lord is saying to Paul's heart that his strength is made perfect in Paul's weakness. And then he says, "For when I am weak," Paul now is speaking of himself, "when I am weak, then am I strong." You know, you'd be puzzled at such a strange statement if you were not acquainted with the writings or character of Apostle Paul, when he says that when I'm weak, then am I strong, because he was a great scholar and a talented writer, an outstanding Christian apostle, and think that he would say this thing, that when he's weak. But if we note to whom Paul is writing, it might help us to find the answer to this strange statement. Paul wrote these words to the Greeks. You read back in the Corinthian letter and you'll note that they had questioned his right to apostleship because of something which they called weakness. They inferred that his bodily presence was weak and therefore not fitted for his high calling. But you know, the Greeks exalted perfection of the physical body, not only through their national races and so on, but they thought that anyone was a weakling who was not robust. We know from what Paul writes elsewhere that they also attributed other weaknesses to him. They scorned a man that had been stoned or whipped or imprisoned. This did not at all constitute their ideas of strength. And then Paul's manner of organizing, sustaining the churches, that was contrary to their strong human logic also. They didn't understand that God frequently works contrary to human logic. God works contrary, as someone has written a wonderful book on that very saying, God works contrary to natural expectations. And God is his own way of doing things, and they're quite contrary to our ideas. In his word he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. And my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, the Greeks inferred that Paul was not an orator, that his speech was contemptible. It was the greatest ambition of a Greek to be an orator. And that's what they taught their youth, and the lack of the gift of oratory was a weakness. They reasoned man's ways, for you know that God's way has always been. That it isn't the oratory, it's the spirit in the speech. That counts with God. Paul said it's according to the power that worketh in you. Oh, that's a wonderful sentence. It's according to the power that worketh in you. So this is the Greeks call weakness, God called strength. It was an asset to Paul. How many times we've all heard some humble speaker that isn't gifted in oratory at all, and not learned in man's wisdom, nor trained in man's colleges, perhaps, but all filled with the Spirit of God, and he, well, just literally sweep people off of their feet, sweep an audience along on the tide of his earnestness, the power of God that's manifested through him. The man is so humble, so emptied of self, so weak in himself, then God has a chance to work through him. Thus, this very weakness becomes his strength. That's why Paul says when he is weak, then he is strong. The word says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And now you write in and you say, oh, I'm too weak to do this or that, and I'm so weak when it comes to temptation, and I feel my own weakness so much that I don't feel worthy to claim promises, and all these different statements about weakness. Well, a man is only strong when he's completely emptied of himself, and his strength comes from the Lord. There are those before whom I stood once in a while, that when I stood there in public ministry, I felt so keenly my weakness. Oh, I can't begin to express the weakness that I felt. And I've gone so hesitatingly before those to whom I was to speak, feeling utterly helpless in myself. And I always feel that way when I come on the radio to broadcast. But that can become my strength. Because of this verse, that's what it means, my strength. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord comes and he supplements your weakness with his strength. That's what he wants to do. And so when you feel this awful weakness, this terrible lack, that's the very time to take hold of God. That's the very time to claim his strength. When you're the weakest in yourself, then you become strong if you depend upon his strength. So what the Greeks in ignorance of spiritual things called weakness, that really became strength. Now God's word says in Isaiah 40:29, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, when we're so sure of our own strength, so confident of our own powers, then the Lord just lets us walk alone in our strength. And I'm reminded the other day of visiting John and his wife, and but my little great-grandbaby, and she's just learning to walk, and she takes hold of your finger, and she just starts out like she's going to take the world by storm, and she just thinks that she can surely do that, and she goes so fast, and first thing you know, she stumbled and bumped her nose and bruised herself, and she just walked in her own strength until she learns that she's got to hold on to your finger, and because she can't quite walk by herself now. That's just like we are. What a pity, isn't it? That we're so determined to walk in our own strength, that we want our own way, that we won't depend upon the divine. We lean so much on the human. Oh, and we draw only upon natural resources. What a pity when we have all of heaven's resources at our command. And how strange that we should ever insist on walking in our own strength or depending on our own wisdom when we can have God's power and his riches, and we can be linked up with everything that God is and God has. You know, the wonder of it is that the Lord wants to help us. That's the wonder of it. He yearns to strengthen and comfort and supply. He longs to give his strength to us. But if we insist on walking by ourselves in our own strength, then he leaves us alone. And he just walks off the stage of life and leaves us to ourselves. Perhaps until the foundations of our proud confidence in the human has to be shaken, and we come to the realization that our human strength, after all, is only weakness. And so you're saying that you're so weak. Oh, God's word says in Isaiah 27:5, God says, take hold of my strength. In Isaiah 49:5, my God shall be my strength. And the Lord said about David, look not upon his countenance or the height of his stature. These things, he says, make no difference. Your human wisdom, it's the strength of the Lord that can be depended upon. Now the Lord's saying to you, my strength for your weakness is my provision for you. The humble, the meek, the weak can thus become strong. And your testimony will be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Remember that all of God's great spiritual giants were weak men who were made strong by his power. It can be the same with, just the very same with you. So don't feel yourself hindered by some infirmity of human weakness for the strength to go through to victory. It's not in your human strength anyhow. You're to take it God's strength, divine strength. Can't you take it today? Take it now. God's word says, with all might according to his glorious power, that we might know what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Oh, God bless you and help you to reach out and take hold of all that God has provided for you. You can diligently seek and depend utterly upon that strength of his. He'll give it. God bless you. He answers prayer and he's still on the throne.